The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I believe that one of the characteristics of Buddhist practice is taking a high degree of personal responsibility for your practice, for ourselves, for the life that we live, the choices we make. And the idea of taking personal responsibility, I think, is really a strong, important part of this practice. And it probably is not talked about enough, this idea. And one of the reasons maybe it's not talked about is that it's hard to talk about responsibility, personal responsibility, without it feeling oppressive, without feeling like, oh, and here another reason to think I'm a bad person, or I'm doing it wrong, or I'm not doing well enough, I'm not doing enough, and, it's up to me. If I'm responsible, then I'm to blame. And so then that's a pretty bad news, and so often in the West, where there's so much self-criticism going on, the tendency is to do a lot of teaching on self-acceptance, self-compassion, all kinds of things because of the need people have here. However, it shouldn't overshadow the importance of personal responsibility, and that's a kind of a key aspect of Buddhism. And perhaps one way of kind of getting into the topic is to consider something that you do every day that you're clearly responsible for. No one else is going to do it for you. But perhaps it's something that you don't even think, you're almost that you don't even think about you doing it. You do it so unself-consciously. It's just like, well, of course you do that. And maybe some of you it's different. The example I'm going to give, maybe it doesn't work for some of you, I recognize that. But maybe getting out of bed in the morning. You wake up and you get out of bed to go pee, or get out of bed to have your coffee, or get out of bed to whatever you do next. You're responsible for doing that. If you're able-bodied enough, you're responsible to get yourself out of bed and get to the toilet or get to the coffee machine or get to the shower or get to your clothes and put them on. But you've been doing this for most of you here in this room, for decades. And it's just something that you do. And you don't think about it. You might think about what clothes to wear or think about certain things, but the idea of getting up out of bed is just, it's not like... If someone said, you're responsible to get yourself out of bed, you might tell that to a teenage boy. I don't know about girls, but I know about boys now. And they get out of bed around 1 or 2 in the afternoon. It's quite amazing. But anyway, maybe there's some other example like that that you just do. That you take responsibility for, but you don't think that you're taking responsibility. It's not in your mindset, oh, I'm responsible now. But clearly you are, because no one else is going to do it. So the idea of personal responsibility doesn't have to be oppressive, or it doesn't have to be like you have to do a lot of work, or like being forceful. It can come with ease, and come with a naturalness to it. But it doesn't exclude the idea that in order to do this Buddhist practice or find a life of freedom and liberation, there's required of us a high degree of personal responsibility. And so part of the responsibility is to be aware, be mindful and be awake. Without being aware of our life as we live it, there is no Buddhist practice. There is no awakening. And as I said earlier, to be aware doesn't have to be a struggle, doesn't have to be a responsibility that becomes a burden. It's a responsibility we take on that actually can be quite freeing and quite relaxing. Especially if we learn that, recognize that being aware is a natural phenomenon. It's a natural to be aware. We're always aware. And so it's not something we have to do to be aware. It's more what we have to allow to be aware. Kind of get out of the way for awareness. Relax and open and recognize that we're already aware. Recognize that and kind of ride that right along with it. I like the idea of being a passenger in the car of awareness. You don't have to be the driver even sometimes. But you have to take responsibility for that. You have to get in the car. Otherwise, the car is not going to take you anywhere. You know, you have to get them in a car. You have to kind of keep doing it, to allow for it. No one's going to do it for you. Sometimes people can kind of, you know, maybe clap their hands next to your ear, and you kind of, I guess I'm here. But that's not really where the path is. You can't have someone next to you all the time telling you, wake up. You know, you have to do it for yourself. So you have to take responsibility. And how much responsibility you want to take? How motivated are you? Do you know how to take that responsibility? So that it's certainly a grown-up thing to do. It's a maturing thing to do. It's like, you know, you're now become an upright citizen of the world. You're responsible and you're engaged. But how do you do it so it's relaxing, so that it's freeing, so it's not contracting, not tight? And then we take responsibility for what goes on inside. We get responsibility for, to some degree, of our experience. Some of the experiences we have, we sit down and meditate. Some of those experiences are there because of how we lived our lives. If we're always rushing and hurrying around, and we sit down and we feel agitated and the mind is spinning, then to take responsibility, that it's how much we've been rushing and doing and reacting to things that sets a momentum in place. And we have to take responsibility for that momentum. You can't just push a button and have it stop. So you have to kind of let it be there. I've sometimes gotten angry. And there have been times when I sit meditating quietly and peacefully and minding my own business, and somehow some thought comes up and I get angry. And so taking responsibility for that means I can't just push a button necessarily to stop the anger. There's now a momentum. There's an energy that's in the system. And so now I have to, my way of being responsible for it is not to act on it, but to hold it, make space for it, and let it kind of play itself out without adding to it nor fueling it anymore. And so I have to kind of just make, I'm responsible for making that space. I don't have to make it a problem that I'm angry. I don't have to make it a statement about who I am and what a failure I am to be angry or something. I'm a meditation teacher. I've been doing this for a long time, so I guess I just blew it. But rather, just anger. And now that it's in motion, I have to kind of let it, you know, if you roll a ball hard enough, it'll roll for a while until momentum goes out. If you spin your anger hard enough, it takes a while for it to spin out. You can't expect something to suddenly stop. And that took me a long time to learn, to really appreciate with all kinds of emotions and things, that they have to play out sometimes because the momentum is so strong. And so part of it is taking responsibility to get out of the way, to make space for it, to let it kind of, it's a very mature thing to do, to recognize that some things are there and we have to just experience them. The Buddha said that, a very interesting statement. He said, the body, your physical body, is old karma. And your job is to experience it. So they said, whatever you're experiencing physically, the Buddha wanted to say, it's there because of the momentum of your choices, your intentions, your activities in the past. And rather than saying it's wrong or bad, the instructions are, now just feel it in your body. And so to take responsibility to show up, so when it's uncomfortable, what's happening, to be responsible is to make space and show up and be present for it. If it's comfortable and nice, show up and feel it and be present for it in your body. No one else is going to do that for you. It's only you can do that. So to be responsible for how you're feeling, to be responsible for the momentum that's set in motion, to be responsible for the choices you make. So as we become more and more mindful, it's our ability to see the amount of choice we have in our life goes up higher and higher. And I think that's one of the signs of maturing in mindfulness practice, is we start seeing there's more and more choice. When I was really young, I'm pretty sure when I was 6 or 7, I don't think I was aware of having any choice. That wasn't like that wasn't like an understanding I had. I just did things, went about my life, and I'm sure I made choices, but I don't think I was thinking that I'm making a choice. As I entered into adulthood and especially started to practice, I became more and more aware that I was making choices all the time. And choices in the most subtle things. How I sit, how I stand, what I do with my hands as I speak. Choices about what I say and how I say it and why I say it. Choices even about what I look at and how I look at things. And so I started, things that were just kind of like an automatic pilot, stop being automatic pilot, start seeing there's choice here. And as I started discovering that choice, I recognized that it's my responsibility what I do with those choices. I can't ask someone else to make those choices for me. You know, if I'm going through the street and I'm, you know, and I notice someone who's attractive, do I kind of then, you know, stare? Or, that could be inappropriate. So whose responsibility is what I do with my eyes? It's me. So do I take responsibility for that? And so over time, I saw more and more and more subtlety in which there's choice all the time. And rather than being oppressed by all the choice, I was inspired. Because I could see in the choice, there was two ways to go. There's many ways to go, but two general ones for me personally. One was to go in the direction where I felt worse. Or go in the direction I felt better. And I got more, and as I started becoming more aware of what really feeling better is, then I started noticing that feeling better means to feel more peaceful in the situation, more at ease in the situation, more expansive in the situation. Not more pleasant in the situation. Not just simply because now it's more pleasant. Because if I was only pursuing pleasure, then that's a dangerous route to take. And so I start to see that the choices I make, I could move towards the choices that were actually for my betterment. The choices that actually felt more at ease, happier, freer. And it got more and more subtle. It got, like I already said this, but my posture. I noticed that sometimes if I slumped, or if I scrunched my face, or if I tightened my jaw, that has one effect on me. And when I was younger, I used to think that those were just kind of, I wasn't even aware I was doing that. But with the practice, I started noticing that I was actually making choices. Choices I didn't recognize when I was younger, and therefore I didn't have the choice. So who's responsible for those subtle choices about what you do with your eyes and your posture and your hand and, you know, your all these things? I think it's, you know, you're responsible. So to take responsibility, to take personal responsibility is central to a path of liberation and freedom. It's also central to a path of love and compassion. And so how do we engage in this area of personal responsibility? How do we become more responsible? Is central to the whole Buddhist enterprise. As we learn about it, as we understand it, and understand how we do it, it becomes easier and easier. At some point, the things we had to make effort to be responsible for start becoming second nature. And then we're back to a place where it more feels like a natural choice, or it feels like I'm not making the choices, or there's responsibility, but it's not personal. It's not like I'm making the choices. So it starts off, maybe we just, it's natural just to make choices without even knowing you're making them when you're small and young. And then we go through a phase of life, and also with Buddhist practice, where we get increasingly aware that we're making the choices, that it's up to us and our responsibility. And then we engage in those in an appropriate way. And then at some point, we come to the other side of that, where it starts feeling less and less personal, or starts feeling less and less, you know, something, not something we identify with, or it starts feeling like, sometimes almost as like, I don't have a choice anymore. That just, you know, there's no choice, it just, things are happening. But it's happening after this, the whole path of growth and development and taking personal responsibility for a while and to maturing in that, and then being able to kind of, something else begins to take over, something else begins to operate that is not so personal anymore and free and capable. So I'd encourage you to spend some time considering what your relationship is with this word, this concept of personal responsibility. What's your attitude towards it? What's your feelings, emotional relationship to it? What are your reservations about it? How do you hold it when you hear this word? How can you relate to it? How can you engage in this topic or this practice of personal responsibility in a way that it's nourishing, meaningful, helpful, supportive? So it's not a burden, but actually the opposite of a burden. It's almost like you're putting down burdens by engaging in this personal responsibility. So I hope that gives you something to explore. Thank you.